All right. Well, finally, beginning the weekend, getting done with the week. Had a very long, crappy week. We started our week out here in Wisconsin with sub-zero temperatures. That was wonderful. At my work, we had 4 vehicles that were down because of the temperatures. So, yeah, we've been playing catch-up all damn week.
Yeah.
So, finally, I think we're up to like 11 degrees out there. So, anyway, we're here tonight with Ernie Peck. You are lead investigator, correct, of Pac-Man?
Well, Pac-Man Paranormal is just myself and my wife, Denise.
Okay. So
we're co-leads, I guess. We work closely with some of our paranormal family, like the Black Wolf Paranormal, Todd and Leanne Eskew, Beth Allen of Soul on Blaze, and also the Black Wolf. And just really a lot. We spread it around. You know, we work with a little bit of everybody.
Oh, that's good. It's good. Now, for those who might be watching that haven't seen you before or know about you, where are you out of? Where are you from?
I'm in West Point, Kentucky, which is just about 20 minutes south of Louisville, about 10 minutes north of Fort Knox. Actually, West Point and Fort Knox property border one another.
You haven't dug a tunnel yet?
Which tunnel? to the goal? I'm working on that. We just moved down here in May. It's going to take a while to get there. But, I need to get to the gold and the aliens and Bigfoot and everybody that got captured and held hostage down there in the catacombs below the vault. There's Denise in the chat. I see that.
So Ernie, how long you been doing this?
I've been a paranormal investigator for probably close to 30 years. Being a paranormal investigator by today's standards, where, you know, you got the equipment and you go out and you actually do this stuff on the regular, that hasn't been all that long, really. But I have been doing paranormal investigation for about 30 years. I was a longtime guide at Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Oh, nice.
And hosted the private overnights there. Off and on a few different stints doing that. And now Denise and I, we are operating a location that's fairly new to the paranormal community. It's Fort Duffield. It's a Civil War fort. It's right up on the hill here across from the house. It has everything from spirit activity to UFO activity and even Bigfoot. We have had pretty much every team that's been there for a private overnight has had a Bigfoot experience up there.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that wasn't something that we were expecting when we started hosting the investigations up there. We opened it up for that. And then everybody had an experience. So it's like, well, we need to talk about it then. So
sounds like something that we might have to look into, Joe.
Yeah, it might be. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Uh-oh.
Joe's got to go.
When he gets up and has to be right back, there's something going on.
Yep. Yeah, that definitely sounds like a trip worth making.
I think it'd be fun as hell.
It's a really cool place. It's, I know you guys are from Wisconsin. If you're, if you ever come down this way to do Waverly or Octagon Hall or any of the other locations that are within a short drive of here, try to squeeze in Fort Duffield. It's relatively inexpensive compared to a lot of locations. We'll give you 12 hours up there for $400 for up to 10 people. And
that's pretty good.
You've got many acres to explore for, like I say, spirit activity, UFO activity, and Bigfoot activity.
You know, it's kind of interesting because that's kind of reminds me of property up here in Wisconsin that we're going to be going back to in August, that down by Bray Road.
Yeah.
You've heard of
me some photos from there the last time I was on.
Yeah. You know, we're that is a very interesting property, man. It's just, there's everything out there.
Barnaby named it right.
I agree. Barnaby did name it right. You know, called it the Skinwalker Ranch of Wisconsin. I mean, there is everything going on out there. I mean, we've got photos from the man that owns the property that he's given us all kinds of really good material. We've got interviews with him. We've got Joe and I and another investigator out in Illinois Del Kuzmarek. We did an investigation out there. We caught some evidence, and we had an experience that was a little unexplainable. With the fog that came in like it did, and it was a wet fog, which was really weird. But it came in extremely heavy. We packed up all of our gear because we didn't want to get anything wet, obviously. And by the time we got done packing up and putting it in the car, it had dissipated as fast as it came in.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was insanely crazy. So
Yeah. Like Denise says there in the chat, where I'm coming to you from is the Ditto House Inn. This is our house. Google the Ditto House Inn. The results will tell you that it's the most haunted house in Kentucky. And I can attest to that. It's one of the most haunted places I've ever been. And I've been a lot of haunted places, some of the best known in the world. And this place is crazy insane haunted. It's never, like she says, never a dull moment here.
Never a dull moment. Yep. Yeah, I live in a house that's 120.
West Point, Kentucky.
Yes.
Yeah, my house is 124 years old this year.
Yours is just a baby. This house was built.
I have activity in my house too.
Yeah. This house was built in 1841 here, and it once served.
Oh, it's even got, get this, its address, 204 Elm Street.
Yeah. That's it.
So he's got Elm Street address.
The story behind Kentucky's most haunted house will give you nightmares. That's the headline of the website that I opened.
That's about
the house. And you guys are living in it.
This is our house. This is home.
Well, tell us, what kind of activity are you getting?
We have everything. We have children's spirits that will play with, they'll leave us rocks around the house. We've set out some small crystals, you know, some nice shiny rocks and stuff for them since they started leaving rocks around the house for us. And they'll move those around. They'll be in a different location where we put them. Doors open and close, cabinet doors open and close. My dog's back here drinking like a sailor, if you can't.
I can hear.
Disembodied voices, footsteps, full-bodied apparitions, paranormal equipment goes off. That's not it. That's the house.
Not it.
That's the wrong picture. Our house is the gray house. There's another.
Oops.
They associate the wrong picture with ours a lot of times.
Okay.
But anyway, that's the Ditto Lansdale house, which was owned by the same family. Jeremy York says, "I am a nightmare on Elm Street." That's.
Hey Jerry. But yeah, my house, I get activity here too. My girlfriend for the last few months, I don't allow her to smoke in the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my rules. You can't smoke in my house. Okay. And so she goes out on the front porch, and for the last few months, I got her this brand new phone and everything. So last few weeks, she's been taking pictures out there and finding some really interesting stuff in the sky.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this house in general, I've been sitting here in my office and I'd hear what sounds like someone coming up my stairs.
Mm-hmm.
because you can hear when we walk across the floor here, it creaks because it's, you know, my office is a wood floor office, so I, you can hear it, and I usually have my door closed, and you can, it sounds sometimes like someone's walking from the top of the stairs to my door, and they'll think it's her, and she'll be downstairs doing her thing.
Right. I understand. I know where you're coming from. I mean, we have, like I say, every day here, there's something. I wouldn't be surprised if you guys see someone come through here behind me or something, because this
would be actually very cool. The murder room.
And
I like the fact that this place has some activity, and it doesn't bother me. Doesn't.
It was a major selling point for us when we were looking for a home. I was asleep, and like 3 a.m, Denise just blurts out, "We gotta have this house." And I'm like, "What? What are you talking about?" And she was, you know, scrolling through home listings, and it had just gone on the market and popped up on the website while she was scrolling. And it was, picture of the house and everything, said built in 1841, once a Civil War hospital, blah, blah, blah. And
that's even the better part right there. Once a Civil War hospital.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah. So we came down here and walked in the front door, and we made it 10 feet in the front door and looked at the realtor and said, "We'll take it." you know, as a paranormal investigator, how you just feel a place.
Yep. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
We hadn't Googled it. We didn't know at that time that it was the most haunted house in Kentucky. We just knew it was an old house that used to be a Civil War hospital. And then we found out all the haunted history of it after we, started looking
at it. That's even better.
We agreed to buy it. We looked into it a little more. And it's like, whoa, we just stepped into the perfect place for us.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah, with this place here, it's kind of weird. We'd been looking for a house for a couple of weeks, and the market, man, as soon as the house would hit market, it would be gone.
Yeah.
And I had money to put down. I had a good credit score going and had a decent, pre-approved loan and everything. And we had just got back to our apartment after looking at two different houses. And neither one of them I really liked. And then all of a sudden, this one, she went online and she's looking, and she brought this. This one had gotten put on market 9 minutes prior to her finding it.
Yeah.
Literally.
You gotta be quick.
Oh, we were quick.
It's happening again.
So we got a hold of the realtor immediately, and she's like, "Well, all right, what's the address?" And then we told her. She looks everything up, and she goes, "They're having an open house today, tomorrow type of thing. Go check it out and then let me know." So we came in here, and it's like, I don't think they had more than about 4 people come through the house in an open house. And we put a bid in immediately. And we had one other couple that was bidding against us. And the funny thing is, the guy had been saying how he knew the owner. So I think what happened is we were bidding and they were bidding against us, trying to bid us up for the owner.
The old pun is that the old Storage Wars game.
So we wound up getting a house, and I absolutely love this place. We weren't even in here, I think, a week, and I already started finding activity happening.
We're getting some feedback.
That was me. I screwed up on a page.
Yeah, quit messing it up, Joe.
I was like, am I in the Twilight Zone here or what? Because
so, Ernie, since you've moved in here, have you been putting up cameras and mics and stuff to catch EVPs?
We've done several EVP sessions in here. We haven't left a recorder running and just walked away from it, which is something that we need to do. There you go. Denise said she sent a photo of our house to the to you on Messenger. But anyway, we've got equipment sitting around the house and some of the rooms. We've got we've got a music box in the children's room. We don't have any small children. I've got a 17-year-old son. Ooh. We've got a room set up like a nursery because we have the spirit children. There it is.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah. And it doesn't look that big.
I like that. That is freaking cool.
But it's one of these old colonial style homes that goes way back. You know, it's 3,700 square feet. You know, when you go in, it just keeps going back, 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 back.
And it's a brick house.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah. It's 50 shades of gray right now.
With a little white picket fence.
Yep.
I like that. That is really
cool. That is cool.
Yeah. It's not everybody's dream home, but it's our dream home, at least for now, until we're rich.
Isn't that how it all always goes for everybody? You know, you find a place that you're comfortable with until you become famous and rich.
Yeah, exactly. I got the famous part down, sort of, but I'm just not rich. That's not
That's harder than it seems, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a little harder, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you go places and people know who you are that you have no clue who they are.
Nope. Like, I've had that happen.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just a dude that cuts grass for the city down at the park and, you know, and hunts ghosts. That's me.
But, nothing wrong with that.
No.
Yeah, I love doing this. I love having this hobby. I call it a hobby because I'm not making any money at it. And when we do wind up going and doing investigations and stuff for people, we don't charge.
No.
Because a lot of people don't understand it. And basically trying to help them.
Yeah, the people that do charge for investigations like that, I think, are just doing a disservice.
Shams. Yeah. I don't like when you come across these investigators that decide, yeah, we're gonna go and take care of this for you, but we're gonna charge you, you know, you gotta pay us $100 or $200 or whatever. We're gonna come in there, we're gonna clear it out for you and all that. No.
Jeremy,
that ain't right.
Block that Jeremy York guy. Talking about it becoming a goat farm. Because Denise is going to try to buy goats and just turn this into a goat farm when I don't want any goats. But yeah, the house is partially built from a ship.
Yeah, but if you get yourself some goats, you don't have to worry about mowing.
I don't mind mowing grass. It's not a problem. I don't care about mowing grass.
Yeah, Jim, sorry, man. I'm already sore.
I thought you'd be resting after your surgery.
What's that?
I don't know. Joe, what'd you say?
I said Jeremy must be doped up or something. I thought he'd be resting. Right now, from his surgery that he had today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Had to get it in somehow.
This was full up here with Kentucky bourbon.
That's good stuff, hey. That's the best. What kind you got?
Elijah Craig.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's 9-year-old single batch.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I like Elijah Craig. I like Knob Creek. Those are two of my favorites. Yeah. And then I found another one called Rebel Yell.
Rebel Yell's good.
And I absolutely love it too.
Bullet is good too.
I haven't tried Bullet yet.
Bullet's good.
You know, I like my Kentucky bourbon, but when it comes to whiskey has a different flavor and a different kick to it.
Tennessee whiskey is, I mean, it's yeah, it's got more burn to it, I think.
Yeah.
Bourbon or the little Tennessee
bit,
whiskey?
I mean, it's burn, but it's a little bit smoother than the Tennessee whiskeys.
Oh yeah, I love the bourbon, and I think the best part about the bourbon is it a lot of them you can find single batch.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are aged anywhere from 9 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know. I don't drink.
I know you don't. And I don't drink that often, but man, after the week I had to have some.
It's Friday night. It's been a week. I get it.
Oh my God, has it been a week?
Last time Jose and I got together, it was 2013.
Yeah, wasn't that in my basement?
Party barn.
Oh, the party barn. Oh, yeah. God.
Remember that place?
Oh, yeah, I remember that place. You remember me getting sick?
Yeah, I got sick. Tanya had to pull over several times after they poured me into the car because I bought that whole big bottle of Jose Cuervo Black.
And I was drinking that 1896 crap or something like that. That just nasty whiskey.
I had an excuse to get drunk, so.
Yeah, so did I. Because I do not drink that often. I honestly do not. And
I don't either. Denise does not drink very well.
Hey, my ex-wife, when she turned 21, I took her out, and she drank herself silly. And I had an 84 Buick Regal, and when we left, I helped her into the car and literally buckled her in. Okay, I had her buckled in.
And she's not a very big.
From the time I went from the passenger side of the car,
5'2".
Yeah, she's 5'2". From the time I went from the passenger side of the car after closing the door, went around, opened the driver's door, here she is, beating the floorboard, seatbelt off, hands clenched like this to the roof of the car, hollering at me, "Help! I'm falling out! Help!" I can't, for the life of me, even to this day, I can't figure out how the hell she did that.
Who knows? Denise, I took her. Okay. Lady just texted, said she's in here in the chat. She just bought a bed and bed frame from us recently. So, okay, I know who it is now.
Every time you talk about her, it goes to show what a small world this is, because you come from California. Mark comes from California. I've been in Wisconsin all my life. All right. Your wife is from his ex-wife, the one he was talking about, was from Wisconsin. Okay. And it was what? After you and I started becoming friends, that we figured out that Gina and I were related.
Yep. I was friends with Joe's brother first, and then Joe and I became. Now Joe and I are better friends than me and his brother ever were. Yeah. And we found out that my ex-wife is related to him.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It really is. It's an absolute small world.
Yeah,
yeah. I could tell you about some crazy things like that. Just today, I went. I mean, like I told you guys, I just walked back in the door 10 seconds before we went on the air.
Yeah,
I had gone to buy an antique secretary that we're going to be putting in this room, and. The lady I'm buying it from is asking me all these questions and everything. I just found it on Facebook Marketplace, just a random find. And she's asking me about the house, and I told her. And she said, "Oh, I've got a guy coming to pick up some things later this week that lives in West Point." And she starts to – now, West Point, mind you, is a town of about 800 people, tiny little town. And she starts – you know, telling me about the guy, and come to find it's my next door neighbor used to own this house. So, you know, I was like, you know, wow, small world.
So next door neighbor that you bought the house from, or did?
No, he owned it before the people that we bought it off of.
Oh, cool.
And
so I guess that's something that I just thought of too. You know, you said that about the house. Did the people that sold you the house, did they sell it because of the fact that it has the activity in it?
No. The wife knew about the activity and seemed okay with it. The husband was, you know, he told me, he said, I don't really believe in all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then he would sit there and tell me, well, you know, we've had the doorbell ring when we didn't have a doorbell. You know, I was like, okay, you don't believe in all that stuff, but
all this stuff, here you got a doorbell ringing, okay. And you don't have one.
Yeah. And no, they sold it for other reasons. They had some family obligations they had to take care of down in Florida, some elderly family members down there that were needing folks down with them.
Well, you know, That's quite all right. When stuff happens, you know, you got to take care of family.
There's my sister, Beth.
Hi, Beth.
Howdy, Beth. Good to see you in here.
Yeah, we're all kicking it up here in this nice, cold, frigid air.
Y'all up there in South Canada.
Too cold.
Hey, man. We're supposed to actually warm up now.
But
it's 7 degrees here tonight. So,
but Mark, you weren't.
That's kind of cool for you guys, isn't it?
Hey, Mark, you weren't here for this, but back in 1978, and I can say this.
Oh yeah, that
blizzard. Yeah. The blizzard that pretty much shut down Wisconsin. You know, I saw memes recently that. You know, this Arctic blast and cold front, and saying, oh, you know, it's cold when Wisconsin shuts down. And I'm like, really? Wisconsin's seen a hell of a lot worse.
We had a blizzard in 78 too here. I think we had, I don't know, I want to say it was like 22, 24 inches of snow, something.
I know school was closed for a few days, and
it
was,
I recall
my mother had a hell of a time trying to get me and my brother in from the snow. You know, we were blue from the face, icicle hanging off our hairs, and you know,
well, see, that particular
so you had time to come in. No,
Joe. The thing is, though, that particular winter with that blizzard, I think it was also because of the cold that year. But I do recall there being a snowstorm that hit our southern region here a couple of years back that dropped 118 inches on Madison area.
That's just stupid.
And if I recall, that actually broke the record for the snowfall for the Madison area.
Yeah.
That would,
and I remember that I lived over on Silver Road at the time, so it had to be like between 2008 and 2012, I think it was, or 2010.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was freaking crazy to have that kind of snowfall. It was just nuts. I mean, 118 inches. Can you imagine that?
This is driving me crazy. My dog is sitting here panting and freaking out like he's got to go to the bathroom, and I don't have anybody here to let him out.
Ouch. Well, he needs to go to the bathroom.
Can you give me like 2 minutes to run him to the
bathroom? Yeah.
Take him out. Right. I'll be right back. I don't know. Is it, you know, family members
got to go? Mark and I got dogs, so I know how it is. They got a mind of their own.
You got to excuse, you know? That's fine.
My dog's a...
I'll sit here and talk to the people on the side here, like Janet and Beth and Jeremy.
Yeah, I told Beth we got to get her back on the show, and I said about 2 weeks we got an opening.
Red's an awesome dog. What kind of dog is he, Beth? kind of dog is he? What breed?
Yeah, well, Jeremy, dogs are a good judge of character. You know, my dog don't like you.
Dogs are a very good judge of character.
I trust my dog more than I trust most humans.
Exactly. I agree.
And she's a diva.
Well, okay, I see. She said, Beth says he's a mix. A
pit bull.
Well, yeah. Oh, Pity? Oh, Pity's a fucking awesome. Oh, excuse my language. Look, I'm almost done with my whiskey, so yeah, it's kind of hitting me. Pitties are freaking awesome. I love dog. I love pitties. We have a three-quarter pit, quarter lab, and her name's Jasmine, and she is the sweetest freaking puppy you ever meet. And she thinks she's a lap dog. What do you mean she feeds him a fork? You mean she feeds him from a fork? What toys? Anytime you have a pit bull, you don't have toys. You have parts and pieces and stuffing everywhere. Oh, yeah. Jasmine does the same thing. I do chicken. She and Lisa will sit there when we're at the kitchen table, and I'll cut up.
It's a diva.
I'll cut up my chicken, and I'll put
she a. She thinks she's a lap dog.
I'll fork a piece of it, and I'll reach down with it and give it to Jasmine. We got talking about your dog, Red.
Yeah, I see that over here in the chat, everybody. Red's kind of famous around here.
Yeah, you gotta blame me for that. Part right. Pity, huh? What other breed is he?
Who, Red?
Mm-hmm.
Red's a part.
She said it. You didn't read?
Part Rhodesian.
I see part Pity. Oh, Rhodesian.
You're cut off the drinking.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, but
it was Jeremy, that dog was
you know, Jeremy, the one picture you didn't see, I got one even bigger than that. Unfortunately, he passed away.
So he does. So Red doesn't tear his toys up, really?
No, he is. He, you know, he gets. I wish you could see. He's got him laying over there by his bed right now. He gets him, and he just like. Just really? You know, barely like nibble.
I'm talking about a big dog. That one was bigger.
My dog, Jasmine.
Dang, was that a Malamute?
No, he was not a Malamute. That was a pure Siberian.
Okay.
His name was Nitro.
He
was 9 years old in that picture.
But my pup, Jasmine, she's three quarters pit, quarter lab. I cannot give her anything but balls. And they have to be the hardcore ball, like made by Kong. She has tore up tennis balls. And I got these really hard rubber balls. Thought that she'd be good with them. Nope, she found a way of tearing the little strands out of those things.
Yeah.
I give her a squeaky toy. It doesn't even last a day.
Yeah.
She kills it. Squeaky comes out. Stuffing everywhere.
I haven't found a toy yet that Joy doesn't destroy.
Yeah.
Nitro had a few that he just wouldn't destroy. They were like, you know, those little stuffed animals. I would have thought he would have destroyed them, but he kept them like a baby or something. You know, he carried it everywhere with it.
Yeah,
really. I thought of that, you know, not quite a bowling ball, Jeremy, but I thought about getting her a horse ball. I had to do that with my dog that was previous to her, Max. He was a Rottweiler lab mix, and he did the same damn thing. He'd tear up everything. I got him a horse ball. That thing lasted him for his entire life.
Nice.
But I pretty much raised huskies, either Malamutes or Siberians, all my life. They're not for first-time dog owners.
No, they're so high energy.
They're also high maintenance.
They're high maintenance. Yeah. That's why he calls her a diva.
Yeah, she requires a lot of attention. I'm surprised she's not going off right now howling because it sounded like Mama's home with grandkids, but maybe not.
So, Ernie, what have you guys been up to other than buying that awesome house and having your activity around you?
Well, like I say, we've opened up Fort Duffield to the paranormal community at large for overnight investigations, and we've been doing some public events there. We've worked with Todd and Leanne Eskew of the Black Wolf Paranormal on some public events that they've hosted, one down at the Bellwitch Cave. And, you know, a lot of folks know us from the Save Waverly Hills campaign. We got that problem settled, and Waverly's back in the right hands and everything now. So
that's good.
We're off doing our own thing and just kind of I don't know, this getting moved into this house has consumed a lot of time. I've still got a whole shed back there that's like it's probably an 1,100 square foot shed that is packed full of totes and boxes that we still haven't unboxed. So wow. I still got a lot of moving in to do. This is a 3,700 square foot house, so it's a lot of places to fill. And we're gaining on it.
Jeremy saying that Duffield's a awesome place to see.
Yeah.
The dirt walls is still there and is surreal to walk on.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a really cool place. I mean, we've had up there, we've had Bigfoot activity. We've had sightings, actual, you know, full moonlight, full figure walk out. Across, like, it wanted us to see it. You know, a group of six of us all saw it.
Right.
Walked all the way across the fort and down over the hill into the woods. And
did you get video or pictures of it?
No, everybody was just like.
Well, that's typical.
That's kind of how it goes. You know? And
they were all starstruck.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when. That's the thing. People that talk about having these encounters or, you know, people that have never had an encounter like that, they say, where did you get a good clear picture? How come all the video is always shaky and all that? Have you ever seen one? Talk to me after that happens. And then, you know, tell me how much you're thinking about, you know, F-stops and right camera angles and,
dude,
and all that stuff.
I 100% understand. Because when Joe's niece, well, I call her my niece too because she calls me Uncle Mark. But when she got married that night, me and my girlfriend came home. We lived in the town just down from us here in Marshall. And on our way home, we were just coming into the town, and up in the sky, there was this nice bright orange ball. Coming in, it was like looked like a flaming meteorite coming in, and we watched it come in. We got in the parking lot there and got out, and I'm watching this thing, and I'm in awe because in my back pocket, what do I got?
Very often.
What do I got in my back pocket? I got my freaking cell phone in my back pocket. Nope, sure shit. This thing come in, it got in behind this cloud. And I figured, okay, it's going to come through the cloud, right? Nope. Never came through the cloud. And I'm trying to figure out what the hell was going on with it. So I walked down the stairs. I'm getting ready to go in. I look back up at the cloud, and it had changed direction and went to the south. It was coming in from the west direction, and then all of a sudden it changed direction and went completely south.
Yeah.
And again, what do I have in my back pocket? My damn cell phone. What did I do? Didn't even think to set shit down that was in my hands to grab that thing out and take pictures of it.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, maybe if you have been to, you know, journalism school or film school and, you know, that is what you do is you're a cameraman. Maybe that's your first thought when you see something out of this world. But with me, when I see something out of this world, my first thought is I want to take this in and experience it.
Right. Like I was telling them about the UFO that I saw the other day. It was literally just no thoughts of trying to get pictures or anything. It's just staring at it, watching it, being like, what the hell am I looking at?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm wondering if it could be the mindset that it's something different that you've never seen before. And it just kind of mesmerizes you and makes you just
absolutely go, me on some of these encounters. Jeremy, I don't know if Denise can send that picture to Joe or Mark or not, but I don't have the ability to show that picture from where I'm sitting right now. But yeah, that was that's a crazy picture.
Denise just says here you don't carry equipment with you.
We've got equipment, and okay. we'll break it out sometimes, but usually okay. we'll go to
I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask this.
Go ahead.
I'm going to ask this of Denise. Do you have a cell phone?
Yeah.
It has a camera on it. Very so true. You are carrying equipment at that point.
True. What I'm saying is we don't go around with our faces buried in a viewfinder on a camera or anything like
that. No, I get that.
We don't stand there and just say, can you light this up? Can you light this up? Can you make this go off? Can you do that? No, we go in there and just and see what we can experience. And if what we find from doing that leads us to say we need to put a REM pod here, we need to put, you know, a recorder over there, we need to do this, do that, then we'll do that. But we start out by just experiencing it. And trying to draw the evidence, you know, draw the activity out, not by talking, but by just, you know, being conversive. And
I guess I just thought of something I want to ask you too. Now that you're in this new house and everything, and you have all this activity, have you thought about maybe having a medium come in or
Denise
using
and I
a Ouija board?
Denise and I both have abilities. We don't. Okay. I mean, and Beth Allen, who's in the chat, we've done remote calls with her where she's picked up on some things that we'd also picked up on. And I mean, compared notes, we've got a lot of friends in this field that have those abilities that we talk to on the regular. Char Savoy has come and stayed the night here. I mean, we don't really need outside help. But it's good to get verification sometimes.
I get that.
I both have those abilities to a certain degree. There's the picture. Now, this thing that's above the skull, that is a series of three pictures that was taken 5 seconds apart. You know, just click, click, click. And
that's like a face in there.
That appeared in the middle picture.
Oops.
Yeah, there's.
Dadgummit, Joe, what are you trying to do?
Yeah, you turn it upside down. And do you see the guy in the hat that's sitting there?
I do see what looks like a hat right there. But when you turn it back the other way, that looks like a face. It looks like a forehead with some lines on it, a nose and eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, if you look at it the other way, you can see that.
Yeah, I see it looks like a face in there.
Yeah.
So what is that, though? Is that something that was there, or is that something that just appeared?
No, like I say, there was a series of three pictures that were taken back to back to back, 5 seconds apart. and that appeared in the middle picture. It wasn't in the other two.
Interesting.
And I mean, you know, the camera.
That sounds a lot. How that
sounds a lot. Those pictures just click, 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 like
right,
that.
Right, right, right. That sounds a lot like what a trail cam would do.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got pictures I got to go through with my trail cam. I have one. I have one. But yeah, we have that. We have pictures like that from the guy that's down in Bray Road. He's got like 7 different trail cams that he uses.
Mm-hmm. And he rotates them.
He rotates them out. Yeah. And he's got now he's got somewhere like around 300,000 pictures that he's taken over the years out there. Yeah. And he's got some just crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, you've shown those
pics. Yeah, have you done anything with like maybe a Ouija board or anything like that? Or is that something that you don't want
to Ouija board here? I'm not opposed to it. To me, I think it's no different than any other piece of paranormal equipment. As long as it's used properly, but we haven't done anything with one here. Excuse me. Our front door, the doormat is a Ouija board.
That's cool.
See the full bodied apparition right in the middle of that picture?
Yeah, it's the first thing that caught my eye.
Yeah. I see it right there.
That's during the daylight up at Fort Duffield.
Look that's at cool.
That closely on a big screen.
Oh, can you zoom that in a little bit? Keep going.
Oh yeah,
it's starting.
Yeah, I see the distorted. That's as far as you can go. Yeah.
Yep.
Starting to get distorted now. But if you look at that,
wait a minute. You see the full body apparition, and then there looks like a. There's more going on here. There looks like a down by the feet here, on the left hand or right hand side, looks like a face. And up above it, there's like it looks like two faces.
Yeah, I think that's just where it's getting distorted from being blown up because
it could. Yeah, I don't know. Mark's
been drinking too much at this point.
It could be that. Could be something.
I'm just saying it does. It looks like there's a face down there at the bottom. Even when he
right there
springs back,
it looks
like there's a face down there by the foot, by the like.
But
the,
it looks
the,
like there's
the
like morning
foot.
Fog or something in there too.
The left leg area looks like there's a face, and then when you go diagonally up to the top, there looks like there's two faces up there as well. Plus, you have the full apparition.
Like I say, if you look at that on a high definition screen, the original that's not been shared multiple times, you know, distorted and broken down,
right?
You can see that it's a Union soldier in a Union soldier uniform with a you can see the knapsack rolled up hanging at his waist. You can see the strap going across his back for his rifle.
I can see that without it being blown up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of the best full-body apparition photos you'll ever see, and it was caught during broad daylight, not during a paranormal investigation. I was showing Tim Comer and some members of his team around Fort Duffield, and one of the team members took that picture.
I know somebody would love to see that.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. You kidding me? Dale would absolutely love to see that.
I mean, we were blown away and so excited when we got that.
All right, I will be right back.
You know, I was talking about Gettysburg and the Civil War and plane crashes and not to mention the other paranormal stuff, but Dale Kaczmarek's been doing this since 1974-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, send him that picture and tell him it's at Fort
Duffield. Oh, he'd love that. He'd love to see that picture.
We've got several photos from up there that have been, you know, really amazing. And, I mean, it's a place that everybody that has come for an investigation or for one of our events has said they want to come back because they've all had some kind of experience. you know, I mean, there's times when you go to some of these well-known haunted locations. I'm not going to throw out any names, but, you know, I mean, any of them, that well-known locations, you can go to them, spend all night there, and have absolutely nothing happen paranormal-wise.
Oh, you can do that for days at a time.
Yeah.
And have nothing happen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we went to a place once that I don't know if it's ever possible to go back, but we went there and we had some activity, and it's like it was worth going back to because, you know, those things that happen when you're not prepared.
Right.
I was just walking off the third floor of this building, going out to the hallway. All three lights are on the same circuit. So when you threw the switch at either end of the hallway, all three lights would come on.
Right.
They were off in this hallway as I was walking out because I had to go outside to have a smoke, and I was with somebody, otherwise people would have thought I was crazy, but only the center light.
I'm back. Red eyeball. This is my woman. This is my Lisa. She's the one that's been catching some stuff outside, man.
Cool.
On her camera. Some weird stuff.
Cool.
Say it latest. And she can testify to the fact that we have activity in this house. Yeah. Lots of activity in this house.
Assholes need to put their shit.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Back drum.
Jeremy had a. He stayed here with us. I believe it was two nights or was it three nights, Jeremy? He was in town to do an event or do an investigation delivery. And he stayed at the house for a few nights. And at least a couple nights. I can't remember if it was two nights or three nights, but he had some things going on when he was the only one here. Yeah, three nights. And one night we were sitting out back, and me and Jeremy kept seeing people walking around in the yard next door to us, and we were chasing them. We were like, "Where are they going?" And they, so yeah, this little town has got a lot going on. And like I say, Fort Duffield is just right there on the hill.
Yeah, it's got a fort there, and it was.
We're gonna have to get out that way. You know what?
The history of the Civil War, man. Yeah, you're probably gonna have all kinds of stuff there.
Yeah, when Sherman was making his move south, right before they declared him insane and sent him off to Jefferson Barracks in St. Louis. Before Lincoln brought him back to win the war, he had a headquarters three doors down from me. And we have the desk that he used when he was here in town using that for headquarters. The desk that he used is now part of our furniture here in this house downstairs.
There you go. It's just adding to your energy pool.
Yeah. William Tecumseh Sherman, you know, that's pretty good.
No, seriously, you know, you're adding to your energy pool that actually gives you that much more.
Exactly.
You know,
like Denise said earlier, we're bringing antiques from all over this area that have their own stories with them. You know what I mean? I mean, we've got an old pump organ that came out of an 1880s funeral home. That's downstairs in the living room. We've got, cool. I can't even think of everything right. We've got a little cabinet that came out of a college that burned down back 100 years ago, that it's burnt on one end. The mirror's all blackened and everything from the fire. And
kept it original.
You know, I mean, it's just, There's so many pieces here that have their own story. We've got a rocking chair out of the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City, you know, which is one of the more haunted hotels.
Right.
I said that.
I think we're going to be due for another road trip.
Yeah.
So here's a quick one for you then. With all your exploitations and pulling stuff together like that and antiques, what about dolls?
And we've got. I wish I could take it. Denise, send a picture of the children's room to them.
You've got to have dolls.
We've got
dolls from the era.
We've got one old doll, but we've got a bunch of a bunch of dolls that people would say, oh, that's got something attached to it.
Oh, I love dolls. When it comes to dolls, that is they're the easiest objects for energy to attach to.
It's an effigy. It's a human effigy. So, you know, if you don't have a physical body, poof, there you go.
Yeah, that when you speak of dolls, the first thing I think of is that one island where the little girl drowned, and then all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, the island of dolls down in the Mexico area.
Right, and they started because the caretaker started hanging dolls up on the trees and everywhere and stuff. Man, that place looks so creepy.
Tell you honestly, I would literally go and give Annabelle a hug.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Because it would not scare me, and I think that's what she needs.
That's the thing with the paranormal in general. Nothing. And I've experienced some really crazy stuff.
Dude, so have I.
Really, really crazy stuff. It doesn't scare me. 99.9% of the time, you know, I come away from any experience, no matter how epic, going, that was awesome.
You know? Yeah.
There is that 0.1% of the time, though, where you're like, I don't need that kind of stuff. I don't. Yeah, Denise says she just has video of the nursery. She doesn't have a photo.
Well, I would even go and give Robert, the doll of Robert, a hug.
Robert down in Key West, yeah.
Yeah. They don't scare me. No, that's not the thing. They don't scare me.
Spirits are just people.
I don't think anything can scare me anymore. I've already died a few times.
I'm the type of person that has the mindset that unless it's got the ability to literally like stab me or run me through with something or slit my throat, then it's not going to scare me. It's not. I don't feel it's going to hurt me.
Jeremy's talking about pebbles on the piano. It was he's close. It was crepe myrtle flowers on our organ. That organ that came out of the funeral home that I was talking about. Denise and I, we have a crepe myrtle tree in front of the house. And the river was in our backyard. There was a storm coming from Indiana, coming across the river. And so Denise and I went and sat on the back porch and watched the storm come across the river, because it's just cool watching the lightning and, you know, the clouds roll in and all that stuff. And so we watched the storm come in, and once it gets there where it started blowing rain on us, we came in the house. We get in the house, and the house felt different. I mean, it always has a vibration to it, but this time it felt way different. It was like, whoa. It felt darker in there and just more electrified. And so we decided, well, let's get some equipment out and see if we can pick up on anything. Yeah, that's from our children's room. That mark Denise wrote hi on that chalkboard. Those other marks that are in green, and all those pieces of chalk were laying in a row. We came in one day, the green piece of chalk is laying out like that, and those other marks that are in green were on the chalkboard. But you see the red ball that's up by the pillow?
Mm-hmm.
That was down next to the green ball when we left it. We come back in and it's up there by the pillows.
Cool.
Anyway, getting back to the story about the flowers. So we set out some equipment. We set some REM pods out and flashlights and a couple other things, music box, set out a few pieces of equipment to see if we could get any interaction with them. And nothing happened. We had one of the REM pods, a brand new REM pod that Brad Webb had made us from Crack Skull Paranormal, was sitting on the organ. in the living room where we could see it. We were standing in the parlor. It was pitch black in the house, but there's enough light, ambient light in the house. You could see the organ from where we were at. This REM pod is sitting on the organ. Well, nothing happens. REM pod never goes off. Nothing lights up. Music box doesn't go off. Nothing. About 10 minutes go by, and I say, well, let's just go ahead and turn the lights back on, and if something's going to happen, it'll happen. So we turn the lights back on to the organ, turn it off. As I'm reaching for the REM pod, it goes off. Okay. So, you know, it worked, right? But right in front of the REM pod is a pile of flowers from that crepe myrtle tree that's in our front yard. They were still wet from the rain, and nobody had come in or out of the house. But these flowers had come in since the storm had come through. You know, in the time that we were standing there, those flowers somehow were placed right there by that REM pod without setting the REM pod off, and we never saw it.
Impressive.
And I called Jeremy, will tell you, yeah, he came to the house, he looked to try to debunk it. I called him at like 3 a.m. and said, dude, I got to tell you what happened. And I told him, and we were trying to figure out what had happened. You know, he was asking me, is there an open door, open window, any vents, anything? No, there's nothing. There is no reason. I mean, this is a whole pile of flowers. It's not just a couple of petals. It was like, if you know what a crepe myrtle tree is, they have these big blooms that have like, you know, 40 or 50 little flowers on them. And it was a whole bloom full of flowers just laying there, placed purposely right next to that REM pod that we have no idea how they got there. And I mean, I called Brandon Alvis in the middle of the night. I called Jeremy. I called a lot of people. I just put a message out on Facebook. I said, is there anybody that'd be able to talk to me right now? And so had a few people message me back, and I called all of them. Was like, dude, what do you think about this? And nobody could explain it. I can't explain it. It still blows my mind.
Oh, Ernie, we're out of time.
All right.
Great talking to you.
Yeah, sorry, Ernie.
So what are you going to do next? We got a few minutes. What are you going to do next?
Well, Fort Duffield, we're kind of down for the season because it is an outdoor location. Our next scheduled event is probably going to be April the 20th at Fort Duffield. We're going to have a public event up there with Beth Allen, Todd and Leanne Eskew, all of the Black Wolf Paranormal, and Beth of Solon Blaze, of course. And she's also with Night Stalkers Paranormal, and Beth Allen, and then Allen, myself, yeah. And we're going to have the one and only Squatch Man, Greg Yost, up there. We're going to have a little thing we call Spirits, Squatches, and Stories Around the Campfire, and we'll be putting tickets on sale for that probably around February 1st.
Cool.
So folks can go to...
just a minute.
Oh, February 3rd. Denise reminded me, February 3rd. We have a fundraiser for Tim Comer that we're doing at the Old Stone Jail in Franklin, Kentucky, along with Todd Leanne Eskew and Eric Freeman Sims of the Unseen Paranormal Podcast. We got a lot of great donations. We got a night at Ashmore States, a night at Octagon Hall, a night at Fort Duffield, a night here at the Ditto House. And we're trying to get more stuff. Brad Webb has donated a big prize package of REM pods and yes, no boxes. Cool. We still got stuff coming in. So there's going to be a lot to that event. And it's all to raise funds to help Tim Comer's family in a time of need. They got a lot of things going on right now. They need our help.
Definitely.
So
we're all big one big happy family, man. We got to stick together and help each other if we can.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can all have our differences here and there, but you know, when somebody's in need, they're in need.
Oh, definitely.
So, and Tim's always been there for us and a lot of our friends, and so we felt like we were going to pay it back.
That's good. All right. Anything else, sir? Joe?
Nope. Next Friday, we've got Elite Vixen, an all-female paranormal team.
Good people. Cool. It's a good bunch of ladies.
I don't believe I've met them yet, so...
It'll be a first time for them on the show.
You'll have a lot of fun with them. They're good people.
And then hopefully the following weekend or the following Friday after that, it might be Beth Allen. So
get her in there.
That'd be good. haven't got to talk to Beth in a while. That'd be nice.
Yep. Always good catching up. So. Definitely. All right, so I guess stay safe, right, everybody.
Thank you very much, bud.
Thank you.
Good
talking to y'all. I'll come back anytime. We can chit-chat. We don't have to be on here to chit-chat. Message me. Let's talk. Y'all take care.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right, we'll see you.
And...